Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we'll be discussing the third of a four-part series. We will be warning listeners about the dangers of the religious system of serpent worship. More about our subject after we've heard some music.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings. Music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere.
of serpent worship. We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight, we will be discussing these questions together. What is serpent worship? When did serpent worship start? Why is serpent worship so dangerous? How is serpent worship seen today? And how do we escape the influence of serpent worship? Before we start our study this evening, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the Internet from London. Lord, as we study your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and teach us about this subject, for your word is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what is serpent worship? We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 3 to 4 and 9. As there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 15, the ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is a tail. The great red dragon shown in Revelation 12 is called that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. Serpent worship, therefore, is Satan worship, as God represents Satan here through the symbol of a 7-headed red dragon and a serpent. We read that the dragon's tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to the earth. The tail symbolizes the lies spoken by a false prophet. Here we see how the devil leads people to worship him. The devil, also called that old serpent, deceives people and leads them by his lies. This was how he brought the fallen angels down with him from heaven. We read in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. We also read from page 13 in the book The Trail of the Serpent by Mel Vance. The primary meaning of the 7-headed dragon is Lucifer, Revelation 12 verses 3 to 9. This dragon, however, has an earthly shadow or reflection, which rises up out of the sea, Revelation 13 verses 1 to 10. The followers of the second dragon worship the first dragon, Lucifer, verse 4. The first dragon is from the Greek word drakon, a fabulous kind of serpent. The second dragon, or beast, is from the Greek word pherion, a dangerous animal, venomous or wild beast, and equivalent to destroyer, the meaning of the original root. That's from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. The Lord shows us that the dragon gave its power to the beast in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. In the book of Daniel, we see that a beast is symbolic of a kingdom. Thus, the Lord teaches us that the kingdoms that are symbolized in the Bible as beasts are the kingdoms on this earth that have been set up by the power of Satan. They are kingdoms that rule over men on this earth based upon the satanic principles of deception. There are satanic governments that war against the truth of God and the whole government of heaven. We will continue to read from pages 15 to 17 and 139 of the book, The Trail of the Serpent. Seven-headed gods appear in the literature of pagan nations throughout the world. In Egypt, the great serpent Nau is called the Bull of Gods and was said to have seven heads on his necks. The Greeks frequently pictured Hydra with seven heads, and in Chinese mythology, the stars forming the head of the Hydra serpent are said to rule over the seven planets. The Gnostics, a very widespread cult of the Greek-Roman world, openly worshipped the seven-headed dragon. Giant seven-headed serpents sometimes surround the temples of French Edo China, and the sun god Buddha is sometimes pictured with demon features and seven heads. He is supposed to have been a seven-headed dragon on his eighth incarnation. Krishna, Vishnu, Naga, Surya, and other Hindu deities are all pictured seated on or canopied by seven-headed serpents. It must be remembered that the Gnostics identified Christ with the serpent and had a serpent crawl across and consecrate their altar beads before celebrating their Lord's Supper. The evidence appears unmistakable that in identifying Christ with the serpent, the Gnostics were but claiming Christ as but another name for the one God of paganism, the serpent son, bull god, Satan himself. Thus, listeners, here we have more evidence which reveals that to worship the serpent is to worship satanic religion and government. As we studied last week, sex worship is a major part of satanic religion, and therefore serpent worship is also tied up with sex worship. Here we will read how sex worship is indeed part of serpent worship. This is taken from a website called uluyoga.com, from an article dated May 5, 2022. Kundalini is a spiritual and yogic concept that has been around for centuries. It is an aspect of the self or consciousness which is said to be dormant in most people. It is accessible through practice and meditation on physical exercises like yoga poses or breathing techniques. According to the yogis and mystics of India, the Kundalini is a coiled force arising from the base of the spine and an awakening it to higher consciousness. In the Kundalini serpent theory, the Kundalini is a serpent-like power that's part of our evolutionary process. When we enter our sexuality, reproductive mode, the serpent powers evolve and awaken. And so, listeners, we see that what the Egyptians believed in is also what Hindu yogis and their followers believe, that through sexuality, a person reaches a higher state of consciousness or becomes more godlike. This simple, stark fact is that serpent worship teaches that sexuality allows satanic power to awaken and evolve. So, listeners, if you have been following this series of radio broadcasts, you can see how sun worship, sex worship, and serpent worship leads people away from worshipping Jesus Christ and towards worshipping Satan. These forms of false religion make men and women believe that they do not need Christ in order to live, and that they do not need to repent and accept the salvation that he has to offer. They teach that man does not need the true God in order to exist. Sun worship in all its forms is a really serious deception. Sun worship, in essence, teaches righteousness by works. It leads people to think and believe that through satanic power, working through religious exercises and the pleasures of sin, godliness can be reached by fallen, sinful humanity. What greater deception can Satan bring to mankind? Now, when did serpent worship start? We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 4 to 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verses 13 to 14, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." As we have seen over the past 2 weeks, with sun worship and then with sex worship, serpent worship also first started in the Garden of Eden. Here the devil deceived Eve into thinking that desire, rather than the word of God, was the highest law. And here we see how, throughout all the ages, Satan in his serpent-like form tempts people into believing that Christ's loving restrictions holds them back from happiness and true enlightenment. Satan makes people believe that through the gratification of appetite and lust, for whatever they may desire, only then can life really be enjoyed. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now when Eve said to the Lord that the serpent beguiled her, it means that she was deceived by seduction. Eve fell for this deception, but not Adam. Adam sinned by allowing himself to be seduced by the experience of his wife. And, sad to say, this trait runs true throughout all the history of the human race. Satan, in his serpent-like form, works through all those whom he has deceived and leads them on to deceive others. This is why it is so important for the individual to test whatever they see and hear and see if it aligns with the Word of God. God's Word is the only guide that we have on earth to help us to be able to detect the hellish lies of the serpent. Now, why is serpent worship so dangerous? We read in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 4 to 8. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 3 to 4. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Jesus has warned us in his word to take heed lest any man deceives us. The apostle Paul warned us that we should be careful that our minds should not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He lets us know how this can happen. If we receive preachers that preach another Jesus, whom he did not preach, or if we receive another spirit, which is different to the spirit that was with the apostles. Thus, unless we know who Jesus is for ourselves, and unless we know his gospel and his spirit, then we are liable to be deceived by and to worship the serpent. Satan's instrument, the serpent, was cursed. and all who today allow themselves to be used by Satan as his instruments in leading others to disregard the commands of heaven are under the curse of God. Man's safety lies in wholehearted belief in the "Thus saith the Lord." This is the declaration of truth. Those who from any motive are led away from the truth to venture into a path of their own choosing are following a path which will lead them to destruction. Christ has warned us to be especially on guard for the religious deceptions that will come into the Christian church. Here it is that Satan is seeking to cause the most damage by seeking to lead people away from the simplicity that is in Christ. The religious deceptions that came into the Christian church through Gnosticism and then through the teachings of the Catholic Church led to the persecution of God's people in the Dark Ages. This was why the Protestant Reformation was born and continues through God's faithful people today. God wants his people to be set free from the serpent-like errors of Satan. We will continue with our study tonight after this break for music. How is serpent worship seen today? Let's study to see how Satan comes to mankind with his serpent-like deceptions today. We read in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 20 to 22. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. The Bible explains that there are deceptions which are after the commandments and doctrines of men. These are teachings of pagan philosophy, which do not come from God, but rather from the deceitful minds and hearts of men. Pagan philosophy is especially taught in our world today by the Roman Catholic Church, for which church fathers, Jesuits, and the decrees and papal bulls of the popes. We invite you to listen to our radio podcast called What Does It Mean to Be Deceived?, where Elder Ray DiCarlo of Emmanuel Missionary Institute explains in more detail about the pitfalls of modern-day doctrinal deceptions. We read in Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 to 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Thus we see that serpent-like deception, especially in the religious realm, is also found where the simple are deceived by the good words and fair speeches of those who are using them for their own personal gain. These deceivers do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but themselves. Here is one of the main ways that individuals become used and abused by corrupt leaders and laymen in the churches. They are betrayed into sin by someone who they thought was noble and pure. The cloak of religion, sadly, is used by many to cover their dark and wicked ways. We read in Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 to 5. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listeners, when an individual is in a lost condition, living in sin, they do not know the real moral condition that they are in. They are deceived. This is why Christians especially are to honor the name of the God who they claim to serve. Christians are to renounce their sins and allow Christ to work into their lives his love and purity and power. Unless a person has seen Christ and be regenerated and renewed by the Holy Ghost, they are still living a deceptive, sinful lifestyle. Daily soul sanctification through Jesus Christ is the only way that a person can be kept pure by faith, free from evil, and washed from their sins. We read in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. This is talking about spiritual Babylon. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The word sorceries here is from the Greek word pharmakia. The Bible teaches us that people can be deceived through the Babylonian arts of satanic medicine. Especially through the drug industry, the people taking substances that destroy the body and put them into a stupor. The many adverse side effects suffered and experienced through the use of drugs dulls people's senses. Satan knows that through mental and physical dysfunction, people will find it harder to hear God and to see him by faith. Whilst pharmaceutical medicine does have a place, if no better alternative can be found, the use of poisonous drugs is not God's true method of healing. It is interesting to note, listeners, that a serpent is still used as the symbol of the American Medical Association. William Josiah Sutton explains on page 37 of his reference work called Illuminati 666, that this serpent represents the Egyptian god Hermes, who was Nimrod's father, Cush. We have another example then of how the worship of Nimrod is still venerated. Now, to learn how these and other serpent-like deceptions have come down through the world empires into our modern world today, let us now listen to Elder James Arbito once again. He explains how Satan has inspired the Jesuit order to use serpent-like deception in order to gain world domination throughout history for the papacy, the political and religious system that is the continuation of the satanic Babylonian mist religion of Nimrod.
Good God has given his people a tremendous task in this world, and all need wisdom carefully to search out the mystery of iniquity. In the very time in which we live, the Lord has called his people and has given them a message to bear. He has called them to expose the wickedness of the man of sin. Testimonies to Ministers 118, and in Great Controversy 606 we read, "The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority. The inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of papal power, all will be unmasked, and by these thousands who have never heard words like these before will be stirred." In the ancient world, the ancient system of pagan idolatry gave place to the monstrous cathedrals that exist in Europe today. But still on these cathedrals, we see remnants of the origin of this system. Spain reached a tremendous climax during the 15th and 16th century in her colonies around the world. And we see in Spain the great power of the Catholic Church. It was in Spain that the Inquisition was set up with a tremendous power. 68 million people were destroyed there alone. The early Christians had spent many years suffering at the hands of persecution, and as the church became corrupt, they separated. We find in the history of the Waldenses by Wiley and the Waldenses by Claudiana, a book written in Rome, that the early Christians who wanted to stay pure and stay faithful to the apostolic faith removed themselves into the mountains in the remote areas of Europe, and there they raised their families. But even there, the armies of Rome found them. The church was now the destroyer, and some of the most horrible scenes in the history of the world took place at that time. These people tried to have religious freedom. They worshipped in groves and trees and in caves of the earth, but even there, the long arm of Rome found them. Their valleys were fairly silent just before the time of Martin Luther. But when they heard of the great Reformation that was taking place in Germany and in Switzerland, they sent representatives and they joined the Reformation, and a tremendous movement took place against the power of Rome. And so Satan moved. In Great Controversy 2:34 we read, "At this time the order of the Jesuits was created, the most cruel, unscrupulous, and powerful of all the champions of popery. Cut off from earthly ties and human interests, dead to the claims of natural affections, reason and conscious holy silence, they knew no rule, no tie, but that of their order, and no duty but to extend its power. There was no crime too great for them to commit, no deception too base for them to practice, no disguise too difficult for them to assume. Vowed to perpetual poverty and humility, it was their studied aim to secure wealth and power to be developed to the overthrow of Protestantism and the reestablishment of the papal supremacy. When appearing as members of their order, they wore a garb of sanctity, but under the blameless exterior, the most criminal and deadly purposes were often concealed. It was a fundamental principle of the order that the end justifies the means. By this code, lying, theft, perjury, assassination were not only pardonable, but commendable when they served the interests of the church." The Jesuits were given tremendous power. At first, there was only 60 of them allowed, but in time, they were given full control of the church. Yea, they were given power to excommunicate all who would hinder or do not aid the society, to confer orders, preach, administer sacraments, to change their general, to absolve heretics as well as imprison the excommunicate, to exercise episcopal functions, to confirm, exercise, dispense, etc., to disguise themselves, to carry movable altars, give plenary indulgence, to live exempt, free from secular power, taxes, as well as jurisdiction, authority, sentence, and command of any other ordinary delegate, judge, magistrate, from any search. Folks, it illustrates that the church in society gave the Jesuit absolute control in this world, total free from all law. In the Council of Trent, two of them were set aside, Alcazar and Ribera, to form a counterfeit theology to the prophecy of the Protestants about the Antichrist. At that time, these theologians formed the idea of futurism, that the Antichrist should come sometime in the future. This in time developed through John Darby and Edward Irving in Scotland into the rapture concept. And this book on the rapture was written by two Catholic priests. Peter Canisius and Peter Faber were the first missionaries sent in to form an educational system in Germany to counter the Reformation. The Jesuits became the educators and the controllers of the mind of children and the generations that were coming up. They became the great moral theologians and fought the Protestant concept of predestination. They taught free will, but merged with their free will was the idea that an individual through his own works could become perfect and gain merit on his own. Father Matteo Ricci illustrates the tremendous power of the Jesuit to infiltrate other religions and cultures. He became in every way a Chinese and in time infiltrated the court of the emperor in China. These Jesuits could read and learn the language and the religion better than the people, become the teachers of the people, and then insinuate Roman Catholicism, eventually opening up these magnificent courts to the Catholic missionaries. They entered into the primitive and poor areas of the world, and thousands of pagans were gathered into the Catholic Church through these men. But they had a secret way of doing it. In the book Fire of Jesuits, we read they allowed their proselyte Christians to commit idolatry by a subtle evasion, that of enjoining them to hide under their cloaks an image of Jesus Christ, to which they teach them by mental reservation to direct those public adorations which they rendered to the idol. The Jesuits infiltrated the other orders. It was at the hands of the Jesuits that millions of people suffered the most horrible deaths. Terrible suffering that goes beyond our imagination today. These people did not realize that as they were persecuting these people, as they were torturing their flesh and causing every nerve in the body to scream in pain, they were causing the sufferings of Jesus Christ Himself in His people. In Fox's Book of Martyrs and other books, it tells about the tremendous campaigns that raged against those who had fled into the mountains to have religious freedom. In time, all of the Albigensian race in southern France were completely genocide, exterminated from the earth. Not one was left. And the Waldenses in northern Italy were exterminated to the place where there was only a few thousand left. And they had made their way over the Alps to Geneva. The record of history has been rewritten, folks, by the Roman Catholic religion. The Jesuits became the controllers of history. And thus, the record of millions of faithful souls is not available to us. The Spirit of Prophecy tells us that that record is written in heaven. The church, every time she wanted to evangelize or infiltrate another area of the world, set up schools or colleges there in Rome. This became the origin of the Pontifical Gregorian University. Its purpose is for the subversion of the world. They sent up houses of the Jesuits and magnificent schools, which gave some indication of the tremendous wealth of this order. Europe was being covered by the Jesuits. In the Ignatian fireworks, we notice on the back page, it shows the Pope heating the fire that burned London in the 17th century. And it shows Jesuits under the control of the Pope starting fires in every country of the world. These Jesuits believed diabolical and witchcraft doctrines. At the heart of that order was occult teaching. From a Jesuit creed by John Battista Poza, he says, "I believe in two gods, one is son, father, and mother, metaphorically according to a temporal generation. The other, metaphorically, mother and father, according to a temporal generation. And what is consequent hereto, that the common term mother, father, may be equally attributed to God and the Blessed Virgin, as if they were both hermaphrodites, sexually male and female." This is raw pagan teaching in the raw sense of the word. In the book, again, The Fiery Jesuits, they affirm that the diligence of an expert conjurer in diabolical arts may well be thought worthy of a reward, and that a fortune teller is not obliged to restitution if he hath consulted the devil, nor to confession, though he hath expressly invoked the devil, and that it is lawful to consult a conjurer. It was the Jesuits who became the masters of astrology in the Dark Ages. They led out in the schools of teaching astrology in the Vatican. Folks, this chart was made by a famous Jesuit Kircher, and it's astrological healing. In The Soul Hustlers by Rennie Norbergen, an illustration that their teachings on astrology and their occult beliefs in the heart of that system has never changed. Rennie Norbergen in this book quotes Jean Dixon as saying, "As a child I was taught Chaldean astrology by a wise and wonderful man, a Jesuit priest." I don't see how anyone can say that astrology is wrong. After all, he was a man of God. Brethren, we face a serious decision. We face a having to give up our life in this world to do God's will. Every major destroying movement from the turn of the century and even before the great wars were an effort by this demonic power to regain possession of the entire world. And brethren, the piece of cake today is much bigger than it has ever been before. If she could ride upon the nations and control them, she would never again fall. And she believes that she'll do that. In Revelation, we read that she says, "I sit a queen." And she doesn't believe that she'll ever see that sorrow again. How will she accomplish it in this age? I'd like to read to you from Education by Ellen G. White, page 227 and 228. Spiritualism asserts that men are unfallen demigods, that each mind will judge itself, that true knowledge places men above all law, that all sins committed are innocent, for whatever is right, and God doth not condemn. Brethren, this is the teachings of the occult world. These were the teachings that Adam Weiss helped, and his co-conspirator Jesuits and others that were brought into the Luciferian conspiracy taught, that brought about the destruction of France and the revolution spreading to the world. At the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine but human. The centralizing of wealth and power, is that happening today? The vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of the many. The combinations of the poorer classes for the defense of their interests and claims. Brother, everything from terrorism to the man walking down the street with a poster is that movement today. The spirit of unrest, of riot, and bloodshed. The worldwide disseminations of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution. All are tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. Brethren, there is a movement today. The base of it is spiritualism. People are crying human rights again, and the movements of Christianity are right involved in those cries.
And so, listeners, understanding what we've just heard, how do we escape the influence of serpent worship? We read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, Jesus says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Jesus teaches that the exact truth should be the law of our speech. If these words of Christ were heeded, they would check the utterance of evil surmising and unkind criticism. For in commenting upon the actions and motives of another, who can be certain of speaking the exact truth? How often pride, passion, personal resentment colour the impression given. A glance, a word, even an intonation of the voice may be vital with falsehood. Even facts may be so stated as to convey a false impression. And whatsoever is more than truth is thus the evil one. Everything that Christians do should be as transparent as the sunlight. Truth is of God. Deception in every one of its myriad forms is of Satan. And whoever in any way departs from the straight line of truth is betraying himself into the power of the wicked one. Yet it is not a light or an easy thing to speak the exact truth. We cannot speak the truth unless we know the truth. And how often preconceived opinions, mental bias, imperfect knowledge, errors of judgment prevent a right understanding of matters with which we have to do. We cannot speak the truth unless our minds are continually guided by Him who is truth. We read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. This is what Jesus says, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And we read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Singleness of purpose, wholehearted devotion to God, is a condition pointed out by the Savior's words. Let the purpose be sincere and unwavering to discern the truth and to obey it at whatever cost, and you will receive divine enlightenment. Real piety begins when all compromise with sin is at an end. Then the language of the heart will be that of the Apostle Paul. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 8. And so, now, as we look at health matters, especially in the Western world, a world that has become so obsessed with healthy diets and exercises, there are many ways of practicing the healing art, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Pure air and water, cleanliness, a proper diet, purity of life, and the firm trust in God are remedies for the want of which thousands are dying. Yet these remedies are going out of date because their skillful use requires work that the people do not appreciate. Fresh air, exercise, pure water, and clean, sweet premises are within the reach of all, with but little expense. But drugs are expensive, both in the outlay of means and the effect produced upon the system. A person can eat healthily and exercise regularly, but unless they have a firm trust in God, specifically in the redemption offered through the blood of Jesus Christ, then a person is still following the serpent, believing that they can be healthy and pure without the saving grace that the merits of Christ's blood offers. They will still be sick with the debilitating and fatal disease of sin, lacking true love and mercy in their hearts, which will eventually eat out their life forces. It is only by receiving the life of Christ personally that a person can truly stay and keep themselves healthy. So listeners, we will have another break for some music and come back with our closing thoughts.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you for me alone.
So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart alone. forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one, so send I you to know my love alone.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hate.
Listeners, Satan represented to the holy pair in the Garden of Eden that they would be gainers by breaking the law of God. Do we not today hear similar reasoning? Many talk of the narrowness of those who obey God's commandments, while they themselves claim to have broader ideas and to enjoy greater liberty. What is this but an echo of the voice from Eden? In the day you eat thereof, transgress the divine requirement, you shall be as gods. Satan claimed to have received great good by eating of the forbidden fruit, but he did not let it appear that by transgression he had become an outcast from heaven. Though he had found sin to result in infinite loss, he concealed his own misery in order to draw others into the same position. So now the transgressor seeks to disguise his true character. He may claim to be holy, but his exalted profession only makes him the more dangerous as a deceiver. He is on the side of Satan, trampling upon the law of God, and leading others to do the same to their eternal ruin. But listeners, we must dwell more on the results of genuine conversion to Christianity. Not only is the sinner forgiven when he repents and confesses his iniquity, he becomes a child of God, an heir of God, and joint heir with Christ to an immortal inheritance. The power of Satan is broken. Man is brought into sacred unity with Christ. There is not a soul won to Christ without defeat to the tempter and bruising of the head of the serpent. This will arouse the malice of the adversary to greater activity. Alarmed because he is losing his prey, Satan will first seek to deceive, next to oppress and persecute. Evil men, rebuked by the precept and example of those who come to the light of Bible truth, will become agents of the great adversary of souls and will leave no means untried to draw them away from their allegiance to God and induce them to leave the narrow path of holiness. But none need to be alarmed and afraid. God's word is pledged that if they are true to principle, if they believe and obey all God's requirements, that are members of the royal family, children of the heavenly king. They are certain to have enlisted in their behalf the agencies of heaven to come off victorious through the merits of Christ, more than conquerors through him that loved them. So listeners, beware of serpent worship. Let us now pray to close. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. And I pray that each and every one of us will look into our own hearts and our own lives and see if there's any way, and if there's anywhere that we are being deceived by the serpent-like deceptions of Satan. Lord, help us to be willing to put away all deception in our lives. Let the law of our speech be yea, yea, yes or no. And let us not in any way seek to speak or do otherwise. As we study deception in all its forms, Lord, comes from Satan, and you've died and are in heaven now, risen, and through your eternal power, you want to cleanse us from all these evil ways. So the choice is ours, Lord, whether we want to have life or death, whether we want to be true, Lord, or deceptive. I pray that we would choose life and truth and happiness and holiness and purity in you, Lord, because, Lord, you are the winning side. These things I pray and ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you would like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can send a text message to 07944-062-786. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your donation through our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. On next week's program, for the final part of this four-part series, the message will be, beware of Satan worship. Well, that's it for tonight's show, listeners. Good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live and down.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.